How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Courier, very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm okay, Howard. How are you guys doing? Like, I feel a bit depressed. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, we've been debating last night because, wow, when your president stands up and he's got to talk about corruption and theft of money that is meant to be going to the poor in the country, it does reflect a very sorry state of affairs.
Very sorry state of affairs, and really, I don't trust that they're going to do the right thing. I'm calling for a people's audit. I think that we all know clever people. I know some very clever auditors, not KPMG. And they can have a look at the books. We'll tell you exactly what's happened, Mr. President. You know, like, I'm a bit bored of this constant rhetoric of anti-corruption, but yet we see it constantly around us. I mean, you just have to look at KZN to see the food parcel debacle I went through. And now I see that they had a whole bunch of money for blankets. And some of the money actually bought blankets. A lot of the money disappeared. But the blankets that they bought are sitting in storage in the middle of winter. I mean, come on, guys.
Unacceptable. So the question, I think there are a number of questions. And the first question is, does he actually mean it? I believe that he does, because otherwise why say it? With Zuma, with President Zuma in the past, we never even had an acknowledgement about corruption. We never had here at least he is saying it, which means I would hope that he means it. The next question is he capable? Is he strong enough to handle it?
Well, this is the big question. I mean, and what we've seen, Howard, let's be fair, it doesn't seem like it, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Let's go through the week. I mean, firstly, Andrew Mlangeni's death finished me. You know, the last of the giants, the last of the Rivonia trialists passed this week, and that image of all of them standing with that, so tall with that backdrop of Robben Island in the back, made me so sad. What must they think of the mess we've created up there? Like, what must they think of the effort that they've put in that we've wasted? Like, I'm glad they've gone for them. At least they can have peace now, you know? Because if you have to look around you, like, it's really not very good.
No, it isn't. It really isn't.
You know, the infection rates breached 400,000. I mean, it's enormous.
Yeah.
And huge. So is the lockdown working? No. The answer is absolutely not, you know. He said that schools would be closed. Okay, finally. God, we've been screaming from the hilltops shut the schools.
Jewish day schools already made that decision last week, thankfully, where they said, you know what, they can't. You can't have people teaching support staff, cleaners coming to work in taxis that are at 100% capacity and expect the schools, no matter how much effort the schools put in, it's absolutely just not workable.
Well, and then he said, like, it's going to until the 24th of August. So was that a sneaky level 3 is going to endure until the 24th of August?
Definitely.
That's another month away. Like, are we going to be in level 3 forever? I mean, there was a tweet from government, okay, that said, for the duration of lockdown, cigarettes and alcohol are going to be banned.
So we spoke about that. How many people have access to this government Twitter account? Because I would like it just for 1 hour. If everybody else can have a turn, I want a turn. 1 hour. Give me 1 hour.
Oh, and then, like, within 2 minutes, I suppose Batzer and Fita frothed at the mouth. And then they changed. They put out a new tweet, because you can't amend tweets on Twitter, thank God.
Right.
Put out a new tweet to say that, no, only for the duration of level 3. But so why? How is that different from the first tweet? We have no end date for level 3. We have no start and end dates for level 2 and 1 either. I think we're going to be in level 3 for the rest of our lives. I mean, it sounds like we're going to be there till the end of August, and we still don't have a comprehensive set of regulations.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Yesterday, or the day before yesterday, the interprovincial regulations came out. 7 weeks into level 3. Guys, and guess what they said? Feel free.
What?
Travel.
Oh, can you?
100% taxi capacity.
Well, hold on. And can we cross provincial borders now. With
oh, no. Yes, yes, you can in a taxi. A full one, okay? It must be full, 100%. And then you can travel. So what is going on?
Well, yes, somebody said if you're missing your family, if you're missing your family, just hire a taxi. You can, you're allowed to all get together in a taxi.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, let's talk about cigarettes because it's very close to my heart. So this week, a study from UCT found that the price of cigarettes has gone up on street value by 400%. And 93% of us are still smoking. So what does that tell you? That 400% of what is now missing from our fiscal, our fragile fiscal, is going into the hands of tootsies. And you're making 93% of us smokers criminals.
And people are smoking. And we, I don't even, smoking. Whenever I see someone smoking, I actually don't even get surprised anymore.
In the beginning, I was like, hold on, where did you get that from? Where did you get,
Well, I mean, and it's become the same thing for booze. Now we've got illicit booze like traveling, like people with their own brands have moved into South Africa. And in the meantime, the cigarette industry alone has lost 30,000 jobs, let alone, this is on top of the 3 million jobs we've already lost. What will happen to the alcohol industry? I mean, they employ far more than the cigarette industry. Why don't you just lift the price? Lift the price and the buying rate will slow. It's so simple. Am I oversimplifying things?
Yeah, you know, and also the issue of, you know, the restaurants are open, but you can't have a glass of wine. You know, so limit it. So make it that you can, you can do.
Like a person mustn't have like more than two glasses or something.
Just pay a lot more for it.
Yeah.
Which means our government coffers will get slightly fuller and there's more opportunity to loot, guys. What are you
Maybe
doing?
That should be the incentive. If there's more tax money, there's more that you can steal. Go on. You know, I was on a webinar yesterday. I was hosting a webinar with Vusi Tembekwayo and a whole lot of other South African entrepreneurs. It was really, really fascinating. But the one guy, and he runs this most incredible company, he had load shedding at his house. So he said he's going to do it from somewhere else. I hope the line's good. And it was actually fine. The problem was he went to like a place where there was all these like, it was either a coffee shop or a bar of some sort. And during his whole talk, all I could do was focus on those bottles behind him. Because I wanted to know, as soon as he was done, my first question wasn't even about his unbelievable company that uses drones for agriculture. All I wanted to know is, can you buy any of those? And he said, no, there's a big store up here. And I thought, they've made us mad. I'm not even
mad.
A big drinker. I'm not even a big drinker, but they've made us mad.
Right. I mean, let's talk about the protests. And the title of my post this day is The Rise of Civil Unrest, Rest in Pieces. Land invasions, that's now the new normal. But what did we expect? It's been well over a year, probably even longer. It's probably 2 years since we were promised land reform. And there's so much lack of respect for this government that I'm not surprised we're taking our own action. And then we saw the restaurant industry make one of the most visually astonishing protests ever when they put all their seats, their empty seats out on the street with signs saying, take a seat, Mr. President, and carrying the hashtags jobs save lives. And each restaurant was saying how many people are about to lose their jobs. And in some instances, it was 3 or 4. In other instances, it was 20 or 30. But like the actual visual representation of those empty seats was startling, you know, and why is there a curfew for restaurants? Like at 9 o'clock, okay, at 9 o'clock, the chef stops cooking. The food doesn't stop getting eaten. That's how it is in the restaurant industry. Mm. And let's be fair, those, single restaurants, not the franchise chains, but the single restaurants rely heavily on booze to make up their profits, you know? Mm. And without alcohol, they're simply not, there's no reason for them to trade. So there's that. And then SAMWU took to the streets in Tshwane and shut down Pretoria because they simply cannot eat. Then the tourism industry is in shreds with protests in Durban and Cape Town with all the tourism buses filling up the streets. Here's that civil unrest. We're here now. We're hutful. Sorry to use that word on radio, but we are. Enough. Level three, when will it end? When will we ever see level one? Maybe not in my lifetime.
It is quite incredible. But we are seeing this around the world as well, is that governments are just not figuring it out. And people are saying, come on. You know, we can't, and you know, unless you hear us, it's a massive problem. The other issue, and again, that came up in a discussion with Busitembe Kwaya, I've quoted him a bit this morning, is he said, unfortunately, government have also trained us only to listen to that type of violent protest.
Right.
So when you go to them, when the cigarette industry or the alcohol industry goes through a very refined process, they don't need to hear it. But when the taxi industry threatens to shut the country down or burn it down. And I'm not saying that they did threaten to burn it down.
All of a sudden we go back. There was a standoff. There certainly was.
And you see the same thing. I believe that the schools only closed because of that. They didn't close. Yes. They closed because the teachers' union are a powerful union. That is what's happening. So we are being trained that that's the only thing that works. And that's a big problem.
And it's the only time you answer us.
Yeah, I don't want to learn that lesson.
The only time you answer us is when we go crazy.
So now if I'm frustrated about something, am I meant to find a way to be as disruptive as possible? Because dialogue doesn't work, and it's been proven not to work.
It's been proven not to work. I mean, we've had the president's dialogue or Mbeki's or whatever. There's thousands of questions that none of them get answered. None of them get answered. It's choked. It's an agenda-based conversation. And we're tired of it. I mean, look at State Capture this week. Oh, I'm so grateful for State Capture. Mthi didn't even bother to turn up. Because that's the new normal. I mean, you'll remember Kusan Dlamini Zuma also didn't turn up at court the other day. And there was somebody else who also didn't bother to turn up. I can't remember. It was a woman that had terrorized us. But she didn't turn up. And then Nomvula Mokonyane did turn up and accused Greasy of singling her out because she's a woman and she's black.
What?
But please cannot diminish the women's movement and the Black Lives Matter movement because you're a thief. Okay.
Exactly. Wow. Wow, that is so offensive on so many levels.
Right. Oh, and then, I mean, there is one shining light in our country, and he is really just an absolute superhero, and that's Dr. Zweli Mkhize. Did you see him tear chunks out of the Eastern Cape hospitals this week?
He
walked in, and he shied, boy. He was like, why is this drain dripping? Do you know that's sewage? When will it be fixed? And then the answer was always next week. And he'd go, what day is that? Today's next week, no? Wow. Really, guys. Then he found that another part of the hospital was, what he said, it looks like blood. They said it was beetroot pouring out of the drains.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. No, it was horrific.
But guys, these have been the conditions.
This is your neighborhood.
Yeah, this is my home province. And we've had these issues for years and years and years. So for me, this is nothing different.
But unfortunately, that's what happens, is you add so much pressure to the system and it totally collapses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I mean, Dr. Mkhize did not pull punches. He made them write deadlines and dates and said he would be back. Imagine that. A leader who actually puts an end date to something.
Yeah.
Can we have more of that?
He's been tremendous. He has been tremendous through this.
Phenomenal, but he looks so, so tired.
I know,
and he's right in the throes of it. You know, I was watching this Eastern Cape audit and he walked in with, it must have been 30 people around him. And I thought, guys, like, whatever happened to social distancing, you know? Mm. Like, he had a mask and a visor, but here you're in a COVID hospital and there's 30 people on top of you. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. What else you got?
And then Then, of course, I'm writing this in Generator, so I don't even want to talk to you about Eskom, okay? I'm not even going there. Mark Sham's open letter said it all, but more politely than I have, under the hashtag SA Citizens Unite. Again, the word is hurtful. And then what cheered me up was the Jerusalem Challenge. I loved that. Did you see the Jerusalem Challenge?
Do you remember we played that song once?
Yes. No, in fact,
Did you dance? Did you teach Howard how to do
it? I'm so bad. You don't understand how bad it is. I am so white male when it comes to you can't talk about privilege because there's no privilege when it comes to. But I saw an Italian group doing, singing Jerusalem.
Amazing.
And I just thought, wow.
Amazing. We've been doing it in the house all week. So there you go. So that'd be my cheer me up for the week. Then across the waters. Oh, wow. I was going to vote for Kanye, guys. Now what happened now?
Shame. Yeah. I feel so bad for him.
Me too.
I feel so sorry for him.
I do as well.
I really feel sorry for him. Mental health matters. Yeah. And he's not okay.
It was so interesting because on Monday morning we started talking about it in a very flippant sort of a way because he had just made the speech in America. It was weird and we were very weird. And then as we started to see more of it, we realized that this is actually something a lot deeper and darker and worrisome. It became actually a very serious conversation, which is what it needs to be.
Absolutely, it needs to be. And I thought, I have no time for Kim Kardashian, but I thought she handled it like an absolute professional.
I think so too. Yeah. I think she
the way she responded, it tamed the conversation down. She made it very clear that it's not something to be poked fun at, and he's not well and he needs help. And
I felt dreadfully sorry for the family, for the kids. It's a horror. It's an absolute horror.
Yeah. Imagine in the day that the day has arrived where you actually admire something Kim Kardashian wrote. Whatever.
This is 2020, hey? Who would have ever thought?
And this is 2020. And then Twitter banned QAnon. I'm so sad. I love a conspiracy theory. And I used to follow QAnon just for my daily laugh. So now I'm stuck with Trump. That's terrible.
Yeah, he's actually, I'm not even seeing his tweets lately. Has he been busy on Twitter?
Oh, he was shocking. You know, he was interviewed by Fox News. This is his network, right?
Yeah, I think
and,
he hates them now.
The Fox News network, hates them now. Well, he hates everybody, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So, this guy from Fox interviewed him, and he said, you're saying that we're doing the best in the world for COVID-19, but the numbers are wrong. You're wrong. You are wrong. Actually, we're doing the worst. And then he pulled out some numbers that he generated. Basically, they drew a graph on it, on a piece of paper, and said, there are the new numbers. Afterwards, the numbers he provided were torn apart by Twitter. I mean, there were numbers that were, anyway. So he disagreed with the numbers, and then he said that Joe Biden was going to abolish the police. And the journalist said, but where did you read that? And he said, I'll show you. Just he had another piece of paper, he then called for another piece of paper. And of course, there's no such piece of paper.
Oh my God.
And nothing turned up. So he made himself look like an absolute, the idiot that he is, and the leader of the free world that can't even stick to a fact-based debate, even with his own network.
Yeah.
Let's go downstairs a little.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we need to do. It is 8:30. Tonya Curry, thank you as always.